Back in November, voters in Colorado and Washington State approved marijuana for recreational use. Now, similar legislation is being proposed for Iowa. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. One bill for Iowa would legalize medical marijuana. Another would decriminalize the possession of small amounts. We'll talk this hour with those for and against such moves. How do you feel about changing Iowa's marijuana laws? Do you support decriminalization, or do you think it's a bad path for Iowa to take? Join our discussion after this news. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In November, voters in Colorado and Washington State approved ballot initiatives legalizing recreational marijuana use. The success in those two states has inspired movements in other states, including here in Iowa, home to some of the strictest pot possession laws in the country. This hour, we'll talk with those for and against such moves, and we'll find out your thoughts on the matter. How do you feel about changing Iowa's marijuana laws? Do you support decriminalization, or do you think any move to loosen Iowa's laws in that regard is a bad path for Iowa to take? 1-866-780-9100. Our email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. We have a number of guests this hour, four guests two pro and two con. Let's start off with Bruce Hunter in our Des Moines studio. He's a Democratic state representative in House District 62. Representative Hunter, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Ben.
You are one of the agents of change in the Iowa legislature on this issue. Plan to introduce two bills, I understand. Tell us about what you want changed.
Well, the first bill, Ben, would be to basically to bring in medical marijuana into the state of Iowa.
What we had introduced last session.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the same bill that I introduced last session we've introduced for this session, which basically takes the recommendations of the Iowa Pharmacy Board and would put it into law, where through prescriptions from your doctor, if they've thought it necessary, that you would have access to medical marijuana for pain relief, basically.
Mm-hmm. You're referring to in 2010, the Iowa Board of Pharmacy recognized marijuana's medical value, and I believe voted unanimously to recommend that the state legislature legalize the medical use of marijuana. That did not happen, right?
Correct.
Okay. The second change you would like?
The second change comes about talking with a variety of constituents during and right after the campaign, where we would, for small amounts of marijuana, instead of having a prison sentence hanging over your head possibly, to take that part out of it, to bring the fines down to $300 and $500 for small amounts of marijuana, and to take away the stigma that you've been arrested. Mm-hmm. As you try to...
Does it stay on your record then? And as what would it be?
It would stay on your record much like a traffic ticket would.
That's a very expensive traffic ticket.
That's a very expensive traffic ticket.
Why did you decide on the $300 or $400 range for a fee? Why not legalize it? Is this a baby step you felt we could take?
I think it's very much a baby step, and a baby step that we should take. Until we see how the Colorado and Washington quote-unquote experiment plays out and how the federal government is interacting with that, I thought this was a good baby step to take and see what happens after those two states play out.
Representative Hunter, now this is tied to what happened in those two states, Colorado and Washington State. Undoubtedly, were you thinking of introducing this anyway, or was it really sparked by this?
It wasn't even actually sparked by what happened in Washington, Colorado. It was actually and a lot of legislation through Iowa is passed this way. It was actually through talking with various constituents in my district of them bringing it up to me as far as not legalizing but decriminalizing small usages of marijuana.
Okay, we have several other guests to get to, but before we do, Bruce Hunter, tell us succinctly, make your pitch. Why do we need this change and why now?
Well, right now there are approximately 300 people in marijuana or in prison right now for marijuana use in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, there's been a little over 6,000 people that have been prosecuted and possibly not sent to prison. An overall cost to the state on that for those people that have been incarcerated has been about $9.5 million. Overall, if you include the prosecutorial matters, that raises up to a little over $64 million. Now, this bill would not take all of that away from the state, but even if you took half of that away from the state, that gives you more money to put into schools, into drug treatment programs, into more police.
So as a legislator, you're saying cost is the main reason you will convince other legislators to follow this.
Cost is half the reason. The other half of the reason is the stigma of being arrested for an individual that is trying to get into a good college, that is trying to get a good job. To have that record follow you around for basically smoking a joint.
Succinctly put, it ruins lives unnecessarily, you feel.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Stay with us, Democratic State Representative Bruce Hunter. Joining us also now, Clell Bodler. He is a Republican Iowa State Representative from District 58, also a former Iowa State Trooper. Representative Bodler, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me on.
You've been listening to what Representative Hunter has been saying. You, I understand, want to make sure we don't take any step in either regard toward legalization or medical marijuana. Why not?
Well, because of my past experience at being a state trooper for 32 and a half years, I have seen almost everything. The death and the destruction of families, if you will, for drugs. I hear this over and over again. We got people in prison for one marijuana cigarette. And quite frankly, that is a lie. That's these people that are in prison for drugs have earned their way there several times over. Just don't even believe that. The people that were charged needed to be charged. They were doing some crime to get notice, probably other than smoking a joint. Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time. Well, these people need medical marijuana for pain. I'm a cancer survivor. My sister is. My mother was. She finally died at age, 89. I've had numerous aunts. My father-in-law. I've had many, many friends had cancer, and not one of them has ever come to me and asked me to give them a fake high by smoking a weed, if you will.
Have you looked outside of your own family experience
or marijuana
to any sort of statistics, Representative Bodler?
Absolutely. I went to a couple of the hearings that the pharmacy board had, and I watched the crowd. There was nobody in there that I could see, maybe four people, Adam, that had any real need for a painkiller. Some of these people were there just to hold hands and want to get high legally. Mm-hmm. And you heard Representative Hunter, and I respect his opinion, although I disagree with it totally. This is a baby step. This is a baby step. What happened in Colorado, I hear now the officials out there are going to have to wait till October to set up the rules. Now, that's like I go to get an insurance policy with your company. Well, you won't tell me how much it's going to cost. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to tell you how you're insured, but go ahead and vote on it. So they voted on a ghost out there. I went to California. They have medical marijuana out there. And I went there for a specific purpose, well, to see my son and daughter-in-law and two grandkids out there, but to get a prescription for medical marijuana for something as stupid as hemorrhoids. $45, talk to some type of foreign so-called, I call him a drug-pushing doctor, because he sure wasn't a doctor of anybody that you would take a sick person to.
Mm-hmm.
My Iowa driver's license, I got a prescription for medical marijuana for hemorrhoids. If you can think of something stupider than hemorrhoids to get a prescription for, I bet you could get it out there. It's a joke. I talked to three Colorado troopers and a sheriff's deputy and a conservation officer from Colorado at the police shooting nationals in Albuquerque this year. They just pleaded with me, don't let it happen in Iowa.
Okay, Representative Bodler, we have a lot of people who want to get on the show today. Thank you very much.
Well, stay with us. Just a second. The U.S. Attorney General is still debating what we're going to do with these two states because it's a treaty with South America that we can't legalize marijuana in any form. So we're not going to get into this in Iowa, not with my vote anyway.
Representative Bodler, please stay with us. Thank you very much. We want to also get to calls here in just a moment. Our phones have lit up incredibly here. We want to, though, get to the rest of our guests before we do go to callers. Peter Komandowski is with us. He's in our Des Moines studio as well, president of Partnership for Drug-Free Iowa. What can you say? Welcome to our program, Peter.
Well, thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here.
What arguments can you make against legalizing marijuana in Iowa in any way that you didn't hear from Representative Bodler?
Well, quite frankly, the arguments are good. When we look at the overall framework of American policy towards health care and protecting our children, we've done a tremendous job in America to try and set up systems of government that can protect children from influences that can hurt their futures, hurt them as drugs often do. Under the circumstances, what we see legalization of marijuana doing is enhancing the threat we have in our society to the addiction to a dangerous drug that severely hampers the brain development of young children. And on a larger scale, we have great faith in our governance in Washington. The Obama administration and the Office of Drug Control Policy is strongly against any liberalization of marijuana. They recognize the advice of the National Institute of Health and the various professionals in federal government that say this doesn't make much sense or any sense at all. And we've even seen an erosion of this policy hurt American stature overseas. Latin American nations are threatening to stop drug interdiction efforts on all drugs if we legalize marijuana. Mm-hmm. And even the rather shallow argument that if we legalize marijuana, we put drug dealers out of business, a South American radio station interviewed a drug cartel member and said, we're an $8 billion business illegally. If we can move our business to America and do it legally, why wouldn't we?
Peter Komandowski, you have experience to draw on here. I understand you share publicly that you smoked marijuana starting in high school up until the late 70s, early 80s. What caused you to stop smoking pot and become an advocate for not smoking pot?
Actually, I smoked in high school and in college. I didn't go into the 80s.
Okay.
Well, it was, that was that time we grew up in. We actually had smokeouts in our high school, to try and legalize pot. Like anything else that we learn as we grow older, I learned a big lesson from doing drugs when I was younger, that I would do everything in my power to keep my children and youth of America from making the same mistakes I made. It's not necessary.
Do you feel that you've suffered mentally any damage from the pot smoking you did for many years?
Under the circumstances, I think that when you tried to do finals, drinking too much caffeine pills or things like Adderall, you suffered. I think that when you smoked pot, you suffered physically as an athlete and from health points of view.
At that time, but I'm talking about you now, years later, after years of smoking pot and now having stopped. Do you have any permanent damage that you feel has been done?
Well, if we listen to what research is out there, I probably lost a few IQ points. I hope I had a few to spare.
Okay, Peter Komandowski, stay with us in our Des Moines studio, president of the Partnership for Drug-Free Iowa. You will all get more chances to speak. Our last invited guest here today before we do invite callers, emailers, and those on Facebook and Twitter to join our conversation. In our Iowa City studio, Josh Montgomery is with us. He's an engineering undergraduate student at Iowa State University, also president of Normal ISU. Josh, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Ben.
We want to say that NORML stands for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Tell us about your group. How many are in this group advocating, and tell us what they're advocating.
Certainly. Well, NORML ISU, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at Iowa State University, is currently a student organization of over 230 members. We're about a semester old, and that means that we were one of the largest organizations on campus currently. We were also one of the fastest growing student organizations in history. We fundraised $10,000 over the course of last summer and at the beginning of this year. And those fundraising efforts have helped us tremendously in promoting our cause and raising awareness for what we believe to be right. The reason why we do this is because our fellow students are losing their educations because of this in our state, Iowa. You know, it may be happening in Kansas, it may be happening in Missouri, but in Iowa, our students are losing their educations.
Do you have a personal experience with a friend or someone else at ISU you can tell us about who has been damaged by the criminalization of pot?
I absolutely do. And just to mention just one specific case would be to narrow the gap of what is actually happening. I've talked to numerous students who say that their lives have been affected drastically because of the policy that we have in Iowa currently.
How?
They will lose their financial aid if convicted of a small possession charge. That includes one student that I heard of recently who was caught with less than a 2-centimeter long joint. She was facing prosecution that if convicted would result in the loss of her financial aid. And she also went on to mention how she was trying extremely hard to raise her grades and how she was dedicating all of her time to her schooling efforts. This is just one of numerous stories, and to hear these things makes it very real.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, your reaction, your group's reaction to the votes in Colorado and Washington State.
Well, nothing but hope. That's all we have to say. Nothing but hope to right this wrong, because it couldn't be more wrong, and we're hoping that people will stand up and stop this.
Okay, 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to the phones. We have a lot of people wanting to get into the conversation, and we do want to make sure we give our invited guests also chances to rebut, to answer each other's queries, concerns. But let's first go to the phones. Sarah in Davenport, you've been listening to this conversation. What is your perspective?
I'm disturbed by especially particularly one of your guests, I believe the one that was the retired state trooper. He typifies and exemplifies exactly what is wrong with our drug policy in this state and federally. It is not based on science. He talked about the death and destruction he has witnessed. I would ask him, does that death and destruction really, does that stem from marijuana? Or does this involve drinking? Does this involve other things? And he, in the conversation, referred to marijuana. He talked about drugs. That is the problem. We're teaching our kids that drugs are bad as if they all fall under the same umbrella. And when you teach them that all drugs are the same, which is what we're doing, and you need to avoid them all, then they go out and they try pot and they go, well, that wasn't so bad. Now I wonder if they lied to me about heroin. I wonder if they lied to me about meth.
Sarah,
we have to start talking scientifically, and the science that he quoted is wrong.
Sarah,
marijuana is safe, and we've known it.
Before we get the reaction from Representative Baudler, who you referred to, can you tell us what do you think is the proper legal position for marijuana in Iowa?
I think it needs to be legalized completely. It is utterly safe. And I have raised 5 children promoting this with my own kids. The marijuana usage is actually safer. I would rather them out doing that than drinking or smoking cigarettes, which are addictive. He also talked about the addiction. Marijuana is not chemically addictive as cigarettes and alcohol are. And you know what? So far, I've graduated 2 valedictorians.
And I assume you would say with pot, the same restrictions that apply to alcohol, something like an age of 21 would legalize.
Correct. Correct. Adult usage.
Okay. Sarah from Davenport, thank you for your view. And let's go to Representative Baudler, former state Iowa State trooper. You were challenged there by one of our listeners, Sarah in Davenport. What is your response, Representative Baudler?
I listened to her statements very carefully. I disagree with her almost on everything. If she's comfortable with teaching her kids to do drugs, i.e. marijuana, I hope she taught them not to go up the ladder and do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel she is so out of touch with reality that she's wrong.
Okay. Let me go to Josh Montgomery, because while we're talking about students, we had mentioned there a mother, Josh, of she said two valedictorians, and Representative Bodler here referring to what we talk about as the gateway argument here. Is marijuana a gateway drug to other ones?
Thank you, Ben. And first, I'd like to comment about what Sarah said. Graduating two valedictorians, that's a great point. You'll see that oftentimes consumers of marijuana can be some of the most upstanding citizens in a community. And thank you for pointing that out, Sarah. The second thing that I like to mention as far as the gateway drug is concerned is that there are numerous studies and unprecedented proof that marijuana is not a gateway drug. When we look at the statistics as far as arrests are concerned in the state of Iowa, 7,000 out of 10,000 in 2009 were marijuana possession related. That's not manufacturing or distribution. That's marijuana possession related. 7,000 out of 10,000 drug convictions. That means that 3,000 are not marijuana related. If marijuana was a gateway drug, we would see that imbalance shift drastically. There would be much more hard drug use. But instead, we see law enforcement efforts focusing directly on marijuana possession, and we're punishing people who continue to do the same thing, a minority that is not going away. And we need to realize that this is a serious reality, and that we are discriminating against a small group of people that don't feel they're doing anything wrong and are certainly not. And the rest of the country is realizing it. If Iowa doesn't, then these archaic laws are going to continue to cripple our communities. And close out there, please realize that you are doing so much more harm than good, and so many people feel that way. We're going to stand up, and we're going to stop this destruction.
Okay. Josh Montgomery, of ISU, an engineering undergrad student, president of Normal ISU, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at ISU. Quickly, before we have to go to a break, Joe is with us from Iowa City. Joe, throw in your two cents.
Well, I can tell you this much. You know, there's a call earlier that talked about you know whether it did permanent damage. I smoke. I went to the. I'm a music teacher in Iowa City, but I certainly could have. Not that that's bad, but I could have learned a lot more about my profession. I went to Indiana University, top music school. I smoked dope during that time. I can't get that back. I got into the wrong. I got into the wrong occupation for 22 years. One of the things about pot, you know, when you smoke in your teens, in your early 20s, those are the times you're making decisions on your vocation, your potential lifetime partner, all these major decisions, you've got to be straight. And when I quit, I noticed a definite difference 6 months afterwards. My mind was so much clearer.
Joe, we have to go to break in a second, hold on, Joe. Joe, are you still there?
Yeah.
Tell us. So we regulate alcohol. We know alcohol is an incredibly damaging drug when abused. What's the difference?
One of the differences between I can have two or three beers in a night, and the next morning if I don't go over that line, I don't have any effects at all on the next morning. Maybe if I continued to do it every day, it would affect my liver. But with pot, you smoke one joint, it's still there the next morning.
Joe.
They tested pilots.
Okay, Joe, we don't have time for your example. Thank you very much for your view from Iowa City, talking about the legalization. Two bills that will be introduced this coming session from Representatives Bruce Hunter on our program to medical marijuana for use and the decriminalization of small amounts of the substance for recreational use. Join our conversation. Get in touch with us by email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or tweet us at IPR Talk. Our number, 1-866-780-9100. Back with more. How do you feel about changing Iowa's marijuana laws? Is it needed? Back with more in just a moment. So good to have you with us on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In November, voters in Colorado and Washington State approved ballot initiatives legalizing recreational marijuana use. That success has inspired movements in other states, including here in Iowa. So we're talking about this hour. Iowa has some of the strictest pot possession laws in the country. For instance, a possession of any amount is a serious misdemeanor carrying a maximum sentence of 6 months in jail and or a fine of up to $1,000. Other implications, too, for students, the loss of financial aid, federal financial aid, for instance. We're talking about it today with a number of guests on both sides of the issue. In our Des Moines studio, Bruce Hunter is with us, a state representative in House District 62, Democratic state representative there. Plans to introduce two bills in the coming session starting in January, a bill that would legalize medical marijuana, another that would decriminalize the possession of small amounts. Representative Clell Bodler is with us by phone, Republican Iowa State representative from District 58, former Iowa State trooper, dead set against any type of legalization, as we heard in our first half hour. In our Des Moines studio as well, Peter Komendowski, president of the Partnership for Drug-Free Iowa. And we have Josh Montgomery in Iowa City, an ISU engineering undergraduate student who is the president of NORML ISU, NORML standing for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. And we have plenty of people who would like to join us on phones. And to my guests and to our listeners who may be calling in, we want to get as many opinions, as many perspectives in this half hour that we can. So please cut to the chase when you want to make your arguments, and we want you to make them loud and clear, but please do be concise. An Iowa poll from 2010, the latest we have on this, interviews with 805 Iowans, 18 or older, two-thirds of Iowans, 64% think patients should be allowed to use marijuana as medicine if their doctors approve. According to that Iowa poll, that same poll, fewer than a third of Iowans want to make the drug legal for people who just want to get high. So Peter Komendowski, we talked a little bit about in our Des Moines studio, a little bit about students, and Josh brought up the instance of seemingly fine students losing financial aid, perhaps being kicked out because of this use. Do you think you could back any sort of loosening of restrictions in some cases?
You know, the future of America depends on the minds and the ability of youth, our youth, to grow up and embrace moral and ethical standards that work not just for the benefit of their own desires, for the benefit of all Americans. We adopt speed limits because we know that if we adhere to speed limits together, less people will die on the highways. You know, to just simply say, I want to have my pleasure at the expense of what it might damage, you know, how it might damage youth or other opportunities just for my personal pleasure.
What if we regulate it similar to alcohol to take the youth out of that?
Well, that's been a dismal failure.
Right.
I mean, when we look at alcohol in 2008, Iowa consumed 81 million gallons of beer and wine and spirits, and 21.56% of it was reportedly consumed by underage drinking. Mm-hmm. Now, that if your bank called you and said 21% of your money disappeared, or 21% of your blood disappeared from your body, these are all huge crises. Yet with alcohol, we've established this norm that that's acceptable.
Right. But I think many are saying alcohol, marijuana like alcohol is here. We have to face it. It's not going anywhere.
I agree with you. I think that what we need to do is take a hard look at alcohol and how it affects our youth and how little we do to manage the leakage of alcohol into youth consumption. I think from that lesson, we might be able to look long-term at managing other things that affect our children negatively in a better way.
Let's go to our phones. Lynn is in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Lynn. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point, when people say marijuana is a gateway drug, the thing you have to keep in mind is that you have to go to a dealer to get that drug because it's illegal. When I was young and I used to smoke pot, and I would go to some rather shady characters to get marijuana, and I was exposed to everything from acid to crack to cocaine. And you have to keep in mind, if we legalize that and regulate it, people are not going to be able to get their hands on things like that as easily, especially when they're young and impressionable. And that's where the whole gateway drug comes into play when you want to stand on the back of these statistics. You have to take all these other factors into account.
Let's go. We haven't heard from you, Representative Hunter, on that point. Do you want to respond to Lynn in Cedar Rapids on that gateway drug point?
Well, first I think we need to be backing up here a little bit. My bills do nothing at all to legalize marijuana in any way. Marijuana will still be illegal. Laws concerning the youth, anybody under 21, schools, the selling of marijuana, those laws would all stay the same. Mm-hmm. My bill does one thing and one thing only. It takes away for small amounts of marijuana, about 2.5 ounces, that, number one, it would take away the prison sentence. It would take away the, not so much stigma, but the impediments of somebody that smoked a joint from getting student loans, from having it on their record when they go to apply for a job, that type of thing. However, in no way does that legalize marijuana.
And in the other instance, the bill that you want to reintroduce this session would make medical marijuana prescribed by a doctor legal. And I believe we have someone on the phone, a caller, a listener, Jaden in Des Moines, who has something to say on that point. Jaden?
Yes, sir. I'm right now currently on 8 milligrams of Dilaudid. I take that 5 times daily, and it doesn't work, and it makes me very sick to take it. I vomit every day. It makes me sick, and marijuana would not do that. And I think we need to get it at least so people can do it medically.
Okay, thank you very much, Jaden, joining us in Des Moines. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas, are you there in Estherville? Thomas? No. Let's go to Jim in Spencer. Jim, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes, go ahead, Jim. What's your view on this?
Well, I think Mr. Bodler is really out of touch. I think he comes from this from a perspective that is, you know, strictly based on law and order. Most everything he said, we could say the same things if we were going to introduce alcohol or tobacco or firearms today. People would just be highly upset about that. Now, the point I wanted to make is that marijuana is a product that is not synthesized by humans in any way. You could ingest this and come in contact with it in all kinds of manners other than smoking or having to import it. You could grow it in your backyard, and you know, a lot of people have it growing on their property, don't even realize it. So, you know, today we're taking children away, we're confiscating people's property, we're ruining their lives and their careers over something that was put here naturally. And to say that it's illegal to even farm it for the kind of wonderful products that can be made from marijuana is to say that God made a big mistake and that nobody should possess this stuff or they're going to go to jail, and we should fine them and use them as an example of a failed human being. College campuses are presently using alcohol in ways that are just outlandish, and to think that marijuana would be any worse is a joke.
Okay, thank you very much for that view coming from Jim in Spencer. And since you named Representative Bodler, Clell Bodler, I'd like to give you a chance to respond to those remarks.
Well, you know, I listen to these folks, and I disagree with them so vehemently that I don't know whether I can respond. I think they have both feet planted firmly in thin air. The marijuana, the hydro that's coming across the borders, that's coming through Iowa, is not your daddy's or your uncle's or your grandpa's marijuana. It is way higher in THC content, just like the corn we have in Iowa. We have hybrid corn that produces, what, 140 bushels an acre in a drought year, a severe drought year. The corn back a few years in the 70s wouldn't produce 40 bushels an acre with a year like this. So you're not talking anything but people wanting to get high legally. And if you legalize it, well, here, you spoke 3 puffs of my brand will make you higher, quicker, longer than 6 puffs of Representative Hunter's brand.
Okay, a quick response.
That's what you're selling is a high, you know.
Okay, Josh Montgomery, you wanted to jump in here quickly before we go back to our phones. ISU student there, advocate of legalizing marijuana.
Representative Bodler, you mentioned ethanol and corn. I'd like to point out that hempanol or hemp grown industrially burns much better than corn does. And if we were to conduct research here in Iowa and allow hemp to grow, the place where it grew more more frequently than almost any other state in the United States, we would increase our economic potential incredibly. And to be able to do research on industrial hemp like we could back in World War II when it was emphasized that Iowa farms grow hemp, we could create an immense opportunity here in our state.
Okay, sounds like another hour of a talk show. We don't want to get too far out of our parameters, but thank you for that point, Josh Montgomery. Let's go back to our phones. Thomas and Grinnell, we're trying to get as many opinions here about
Hello?
How you feel about changing Iowa's marijuana laws. Thomas, where do you stand in this debate?
Hello?
Yes, Thomas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. So I think I want to salute Mr. Komendowski's point about public safety being the concern here and saying that marijuana is the primary focus of drug enforcement, but far less of a threat than alcohol, where 3,240 of Group A offenses, assault, murder, and rape, involved alcohol use, and only 159 involved reported drug use. So enforcing marijuana, when 70% of arrests, leads to the fact that we are not enforcing other drugs and we're not enforcing alcohol use, which we have empirical proof is linked to increased aggressiveness. That's a choice. In 2007, 25% of Iowa rapes were cleared. That means 75% went unsolved. And I think we have to make a choice at a certain point about where our resources are going. Are we devoting them towards the most dangerous substances, or are we allowing crimes to go unsolved?
Okay,
thank you for your time.
Thank you, Thomas. Joining us from Grinnell, Peter Komendowski, a response to Thomas and Grinnell.
Well, again, I concur that we're learning lessons from alcohol, that we haven't managed the use of alcohol responsibly in youth and the managing of access of alcohol to youth. And I think that's one of the great indicators that we shouldn't create any more improved access until we learn how to manage the ones that we're already having problems with.
Okay. Let's go to John in Davenport. John, what's your opinion here?
John in where?
John in Davenport. Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead, please.
Criminalizing marijuana has made prisoners of many people who are not doing crimes. And they go to jail.
Other than smoking something that is illegal.
Yes. And they learn how to be criminals.
So you're saying it's a gateway to criminal life?
Yes. It's not a gateway to drugs because people that are going to experiment when they're young are going to experiment anyway. But it increases funds for people who deal with crime. And that's probably not a good idea. The last thing is that it doesn't have to affect your lungs. You can eat it. I don't do marijuana. I did, 30, 40 years ago. And I don't do it anymore. But I don't see anything wrong with it. And I think that criminalizing people and putting them in prisons, which are already overcrowded, primarily because we're criminalizing it, is not only foolish, but expensive.
Okay. Thank you very much, John, you're in Davenport. Thank you very much for your view. Let's go to a response there from either Peter or Representative Bodler.
We're not putting people in prison for marijuana. Small amounts of marijuana. It doesn't happen.
Josh Montgomery.
My friends in prison. My friends are in prison because of the policies that you support.
Are in prison because they broke the law at a higher level than a possession of marijuana.
Is that so?
That's a fact.
Mr. Komendowski, are you ready to serve time with our people, the time that you deserve, the time that you admitted to using marijuana in high school and college?
That was Representative Bodler. That was Representative Bodler. Peter Komendowski is in our Des Moines studio, but go ahead,
Mr. Komendowski, you admitted to using marijuana in high school and college. Are you ready to serve the time that you owe to this state and the $1,000 that you owe to this state for your first possession charge, the charge that my peers are facing?
Well, let's be realistic here. I understand your emotional bond to this, and I hope that it's not on the basis of using marijuana. 63% of the people in Iowa prisons, in a random sampling of drug offenders admitted to Iowa prisons, whose primary drug was marijuana, admittedly by those defendants, 63% of them were for trafficking offenses, 20% for possession offenses, and 17% for other offenses. 0% had a controlling offense of first-time marijuana possession. 1% had a controlling offense of second-time marijuana possession. and 93% had at least one prior criminal conviction, 80% of which were felony convictions. Now, if it takes an occasional student to learn a hard lesson to protect our children from 80% felony convictions and the 93% of prior criminal convictions, I'm all for it.
Okay, let's go back to our phones. Our hour is coming to an end quickly. In just a moment, I want to ask our guests where they see this going in the future, either the medical marijuana or the recreational use of small amounts of marijuana. But let's listen to Lynn in Fort Dodge. Lynn, what's your experience? What's your opinion?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was married at a really young age, and my husband could not get a job because of an electrocution. So he started using marijuana because of that electrocution and to help manage the pain. Because he couldn't get a job, he also had to start dealing some of that marijuana since he was already having to deal with dealers as it was. From that, he was convicted a couple times, again, still not able to get a job now, more so just because of the felony against him.
So that
tore our family apart with the criminalization of marijuana. That's what tears the families apart. It's not the use of the marijuana. It was the fact that we were going to lose our home, we were going to lose everything we have if somebody came in that door and knew that there was marijuana in the house.
Amen, ma'am.
Okay.
And the criminalization is what needs to stop. I don't care if people smoke it or not, and I'm also for promoting that they not smoke it, because I don't think it's the healthiest thing in the world. But criminalizing it is doing nothing but harm for our community and for the people. It's just wrong. It is just wrong.
Lynn from Fort Dodge, thank you for your view. Bruce Hunter, Representative Hunter, House District 62 in Iowa. I want to get your views as we are a few weeks away from the opening of the 2013 session in the Iowa legislature. You plan to introduce two bills, one of which is a reintroduction of medical marijuana prescriptions, the other new bill, the decriminalization of small amounts of the substance, I believe under 2 ounces. Representative Hunter, what do you feel is the support in the House, in the legislature, for these two bills?
Well, at least one of these bills, the decriminalization of marijuana, I believe it would probably have to go through Representative Bodler's committee in order to get passed. I think the possibility of that happening is about the same as he and I having a gay marriage. But what this is doing, it's starting today. It's getting the conversation going of where we want to be with treating our marijuana laws,
okay,
and our drug laws, and to extend it to our alcohol laws, especially as it pertains to treatment and to the youth of our country.
Clell Bodler, Representative Bodler, are you willing to have that conversation with Representative Hunter about this, to at least talk about it, consider it?
I think the chances of his bill happening is the same as our chances of ever being married. I'm surprised he brought that up.
Okay. Let's get a final comment, if we could, from our other two guests. Josh Montgomery, we have just a minute or two. If you had something that you didn't mention that you wanted to reiterate before our hour ends.
Ladies, gentlemen, Iowans, patients need it. Students need your support. We want to stop losing our educations. We need to stand up for this cause right now. This is so important, and the time is now.
What do you recommend people who are not students at ISU do?
Students that aren't at ISU, write your congressman, including people like Clell Bowdler. Support Bruce Hunter. He's our champion. So is Joe Bolcom. Joe Bolcom is also down for this cause. Support all of them. Write your congressman. Get involved. Start petitions and make sure that this happens.
Okay, Peter Komendowski, let me turn it over to you for a few seconds.
I'll give you a short one.
Please do.
Drugs hurt kids, and marijuana hurts a child in the most vulnerable spot, their brains. We want to protect our children, their minds, and their future in Iowa.
Okay, time for one more caller. Let's squeeze in Bridget from Dubuque. Make it quick, please, Bridget, before we end our call.
Great.
Yes.
When we're talking about education and consequences, I am a former graduate of Iowa State University. When we talk about the consequences, you know that this is against the law, therefore it is a fair consequence. When you use marijuana, you know that as a law, if you're smart enough and you are the valedictorian, then you know not to use it because what it does to your federal funding. So I don't believe it's every student on our state campuses or on our college campuses. So you know the consequences, so stop whining about it.
Okay, Bridget, I think the conversation here was about changing the law though, right, Josh Montgomery?
Absolutely.
Okay. We want to thank you all for joining our conversation, and I'm sure that each of you had points that you wanted to mention, but for lack of time, we don't have time for that. I want to thank you nevertheless for this roundtable discussion about the possibility of changing Iowa's marijuana laws. Representative Bruce Hunter of House District 62, thank you for coming into our Des Moines studio.
Thank you.
And also Peter Kamandowski, he is in our Des Moines studio as well, president of the Partnership for a Drug-Free Iowa. Thank you, Peter.
I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Clell Bodler, Representative Bodler from Iowa's 58th District, former Iowa State Trooper. Thank you, sir.
You betcha. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Josh Montgomery in our Iowa City studio, ISU student, president of Normal ISU, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a great afternoon.
Okay. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury and Sarah Bowden. Production assistance today from Caitlin Fry. Technical support from John Pemble. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm.